Greetings in Jesus' name as we come to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 is a very interesting chapter because it has several parables. One long parable that Jesus tells, and then the disciples ask him to interpret it, and then he explains that, and he follows it with a couple of titles. It talks on parables. And in the middle of this section, in verse 10 to 12, he explains why he uses parables. Now, we're going to wait on that, but I want to tell you this. The parable of the sower that Jesus told 2,000 years ago, you and I are included in that parable, and I'll show you exactly how. So, Jesus tells a story. And chapter 4, verse 1, again he began to teach, teaching the word. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. It's the second time he's done it in Mark's gospel. And he was teaching them many things in parables. Remember, they're the people who are coming for healing and to be delivered of evil spirits. They don't come asking for teaching, which is the main reason he came. So it's telling us something about the human race and about those people, but they're no different to us. He was teaching them, verse 2, many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, here's something of importance. A sower went out to sow. He sowed seed. As he sowed, now he divides the sowing into four categories. Verse 4, some seed fell along the path and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed, second, fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Third category, other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no grain. And fourthly, verse 8, and other seed fell into good soil, and it produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you know, if a mother says to her children, where are your ears? It doesn't mean the ears have fallen off the head or she can't see them. What she's saying is, you aren't using your ears. That's what she's saying. When Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, he does not mean, oh, well, some of you have ears and others just have a flat side on each side of your head. What he's saying is, if you can hear this inwardly with spiritual understanding, more than just the words, more than just an interesting story about seed, and then you can say, yes, that is what happens. Some seed gets eaten by birds, others comes up quickly and dies, others grows a bit, but the thorns choke it. And yes, they are, you can agree, and that's a good way to understand it. But of course, you're missing the point. Because why do you sow seed? It's to bear fruit. Why did Jesus teach the word? It's to bear fruit. Question comes, is your life fruitful for God? God who made you, God who sustains you, and God who will finally judge us. The God who calls us to repent and believe his message, believe in his son, turn from our sins, believe in Jesus, and then follow him. He is wanting fruit. That's why he's given us the Bible. That's why we have four accounts of Jesus' life and miracles and teaching. And the people who listened and those who didn't listen. And the people who came to hear him, which were not many. Most of them came for the secondary reason. And he did heal them. The grace and compassion of God. But we have to hear the teaching because that brings us into relationship with God so we can know him and walk with him now, bear fruit for him, and enjoy heaven hereafter. So how are you doing? How am I doing? Is my life bearing fruit for God? I have come to Christ. I came to Christ when I was the age of 20. I had a church background, but I came to the point where I put my faith in Jesus. And I said, Lord, here's my life. Lead me for your will. Guide me. I will follow you. Before that, I was religious. Then I became a Christian. And so I've been walking with the Lord for many years. How are you doing? You know, you can respect Jesus. You can be quite awed and by him. You can be amazed at his teaching. You can be amazed that he had no sin for them to point out. You can have great respect for Jesus, but you've got to come to repent and believe in him. Put your trust in him and follow him. Make him Lord of your life. Got to come to that place. Otherwise, there's no fruit for God. Otherwise, you're just a nice person, perhaps, religious person. Maybe you go to church, whatever. But no fruit for God. And that's what he's looking for, because that's why a sower sows seed. You get the point. And he's looking not for little fruit. He's looking for a good yield. Anyway, that's the parable. And then there's the call. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Friend, can I give you some advice? I would say that if you hear this and you really don't get it, get on your knees and cry out to God to give you a new heart. Ask him to give you eyes that see the truth and ears that hear it and a heart that wants Christ. He will help you, because we see that in the next bit. When he was alone, verse 10, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. Now, here's very important. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. In other words, you have me teaching you and guiding you. God is working in your heart. There's a hunger to know him, to listen to the word, to apply it. You want to know. That is a great sign. Spiritual hunger for the Bible is a wonderful thing to see. But then he says, now this makes this extremely serious, and this may contradict your views of God, but our views of God must come from the Bible and the Bible alone. So he had said, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But then he says, but for those outside the kingdom, they don't follow Christ. Everything is in parables. So here's the reason that he uses parables, so that, and then Jesus quotes, they, those people, may indeed see but not perceive. They may indeed hear but not understand, lest they turn, repent, and be forgiven. Now, you know what he's quoting here? He is quoting a prophecy made in Isaiah chapter 6. We sometimes talk about Isaiah, although he wrote 850 years before Jesus. We often call his writings the Gospel of Isaiah, because there's a lot about Jesus in them. Anyway, what happened was the Jews had been sent Isaiah the prophet. He had gone to them. He had brought God's word over a long period of time. He prophesied over the reign of several kings. And in chapter 6, King Uzziah had just died. And the prophet Isaiah sees this vision of the holy God. And he's struck by his own sinfulness. But it's interesting that the people that Jesus goes to, although John the Baptist had called him to a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, and Jesus had repeated the call, repent and believe the good news, it's evident that very few were truly repentant. Many were caught up in the religious excitement of the event, but that's a temporary thing. Everything will be temporary unless you repent and believe the good news about Jesus. And so what God said to Isaiah was that I want you to preach, but it's going to be a message that hardens the people. In other words, God was judging them back then for their sin. And Jesus is using parables as a judgment because people don't really want to hear God's word. What they want is healing. What they want is deliverance from evil spirits. What they want is to get their marriage fixed and their life back on track. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But you can't come to God like a supermarket and say, I want a piece of this. I want to buy that for me. No, no. It's a whole thing. Your whole life. And so the people were listening to Jesus, but they were shallow. You can read the other Gospels. You'll see more on this, especially John. And so he used parables as a judgment. But he's still willing to help you understand if you want. And that's what we said. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So he said to them, verse 13, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And then he tells them. And we're not going to have time to get into that now. I'll have to pick it up in the next one. But the key issue here is, do you want to understand God's word? Are you willing to do whatever he says? Will you repent? Will you put your trust in Jesus, who is the Son of Man, as prophesied in Daniel 7? He is the Son of God who reveals God to us, the one who died on the cross to pay for our sins, took our punishment on himself. Will you repent of your sins, trust in this Jesus, and will you follow him all your life? I mean, that's the great question. So we're going to stop here. I'm going to ask you, what's the positive to learn? What's the thing to avoid? The thing to avoid is just to put this down and carry on and say, oh, that was a nice little reading. The question is, what is it? Have I come to Christ? Am I repenting, believing, following? That's the issue. Go think about it for a while and we'll come back to the explanation of the parable because you and I are in there. I said we're there. I'll show you. So right, we're coming now to Mark chapter 4 and the interpretation that Jesus gives us, the true meaning of the parable. Verse 14. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path. Remember, there were four categories where the word is sown. When they hear the first category, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Now that is amazing. Jesus says the devil is there in church. The devil is there at Bible study. The devil is there when you read your Bible, when you listen to a podcast, when you hear Bible notes. The devil is there. What he wants to do is take the word away, make you forget it, make you think about other things, anything. Whatever, anything you like. Even church things. But not Jesus. So the devil is actively involved with the Bible, where the word of God is being taught. Whew. Serious stuff, huh? Verse 16, the second one. These are the ones sown on rocky ground. The one who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves. They endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So they come to church and I've seen them. I've run three churches in my, how many years of ministry? 39, well, I'm going on now in ministry, so I've run churches for more than 40 years. And there are folk who come and they love the sermon. The sermon just seems to be for them and they love it and they're enthusiastic and they want to become members and they want to teach Sunday school and they want to be involved in the church. And, the first Sunday there, they want to do everything. Normally, in my own heart, there's a warning bell that rings because I'm not persuaded that they thought carefully about what they're doing. And so they've got no root. So they're very enthusiastic, but when they find out, like the one guy went to work, he was a bodybuilder, and he went and he told one of the people that he was working with that he'd become a Christian, they laughed at him. And this big, muscular guy immediately stopped going to church, never came back. Just like that. So it just meant it touched him at a particular spot in his life. It met a felt need that he had. Maybe he felt lonely or whatever. But he could just chuck it up. Gee, are you like that? Tribulation or persecution arises, they fell away. The third one, verse 18. This one's also common. The others are the ones sown among thorns. These are those who hear the word. Okay. So they're in a Bible study, reading the scriptures, reading the Bible with a friend at work, whatever, they're online, they listen to a podcast while they're having a bath, I don't know, whatever. So I mean, look, they go to church. Parents take them to church when they're children. They're going because they're dating someone who's in church. And they're hearing the word. They hear the word, which is a good start, but the cares of the world and, you know, the pressure of, gee, I've got to work and I've got to achieve and I've got to do this. And you see them, they stop coming to church. They can't make Bible study anymore. No, you know, I've got to get this project finished. But the thing is, they never come back. You know, so they're away for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, and psh, gone. Never come back. It says also the deceitfulness of riches. Now, why that? Is wealth bad? No. Wealth is not evil, but you must not let it master you. You must not live for the deceitful idea that wealth gives, that if you have it, and of course it means more, you need more to make yourself happy, and more, because then you can buy a bigger car and another car. Then you can have three cars. Then you can have a house and a bigger house and two houses. And an indoor and an outdoor swimming pool. And you can, you know, there's no end. There's no end to the things. Jesus warns, he says, beware, life does not consist of an abundance of things. You're going to leave it all behind. It can be gone in a moment. The government can change the policy in a flash. All property is now owned by the government. All money is now owned by the government, and banks no longer have control. I mean, governments have done stupid things in the world, in world history. It can all go away. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. That's in our hearts. And they just start choking out the word. And so the word is not fruitful in their life. So, you know, it's one thing, you can go to church, you can go to a Bible study. The question is whether the word, whether the seed of the word is growing in you. Have you come to repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus? First thing, are you following him? Are you making time to daily read the Bible? If you're not, you need to give up something so that you can have time. Read Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who meditates on the word of God day and night. Every day in the scriptures. Learning from God. See, we're either going to learn from God and adjust our lives to go God's way, or we're going to go our own way. If you try and do both, to go with God when it's suitable and then just let it go and go the other way, at other times, you're not going to be happy because you can't get happy that way. Where does it come from? Well, verse 20, those seeds that were sown on the good soil are the ones now. Notice what they do. They hear the word, just like the others. They accept it. It means they're accepting it means they accept it in their heads. They think about it and they accept it into their lives. And they start to mold their thinking about God and what is good and what is evil. They start to mold their lives and thoughts by the word of God. They accept, they hear it, the word, they accept it, and they start to put it first because it bears fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. It bears fruit. Now, friends, I will never meet most of you, but it is my privilege to spend time teaching the Bible. Currently, I'm retired but preaching at a little church in Reitersbos, set up on the Ochiniqua game farm near Mossel Bay, and it's my privilege to teach the Bible there to a small group of people, a new church that's not even a year old yet. This is in the first, on the 1st of June. It's not yet a year old. 1st of June, 2024. I'm loving it. Yeah, it's a great privilege. And I'm praying that everybody there hears the word, absorbs it, thinks about it, accepts it, believes it, stands on it, obeys it, puts their trust in Christ, follows him, so that they may bear fruit for God, because that is the will of God. But you remember there were four categories. Let me ask you, what did you do with the Bible reading of yesterday? Now, there's sometimes I can't remember what I read yesterday, but I do know that I think about it, and my wife and I, we're at a privileged point in our lives where we can read and pray together. It's wonderful. And we talk about the Bible and we pray about the lesson, so we're seeking to apply it. I can't tell you what I read yesterday, although actually it was in 2 Samuel and chapter 10, chapter 9, and, no, 10, that's right, King David, and we learned a few lessons in that. And I want the Bible to bear fruit. I want to adjust my thinking to fit in with God's holy word. And I'm praying that that's what God will do with you. But remember, the first soil, the devil is right there. He wants to take it away. What are you going to do? How must you respond to apply this teaching to your own life? You need to do that. You need to not just know what you should do or think, yes, that's a good idea. You need to actually do it. The devil snatched the word away from the first. The other ones were shallow. They thought about it, were happy, but there was a bit of pressure that came along, so they just gave it up quickly. And the third lot, well, they were there, but the busyness of life and the desire to be wealthy and the desire to have more things choked the word. And after a while, they had no time for the word of God. You know, they were in church, but they were just kind of limping along. Got to make time for the word. That's the thing. How are you doing? The four questions. What is the good thing to learn from here? What is the thing to avoid? What's the main idea and how do I apply it to my life? Just take a moment, think about that, pray about it, and next time we'll get on to two other little parables in this chapter. Right, so we're coming now to actually one statement and then two little parables. As the statement's really important. Verse 21 of Mark 4. He said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? And he's saying, that's not the reason for a lamp. A lamp you bring in to shed light. Now the word of God comes to us so that it enters into us and turns us away from the dark and turns us to God, who is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus then says, verse 22, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That's the second time he said that. And what he's saying to them is, be careful what you do with what you hear. Because if you are one of those that just hears the word of God and ignores it, or hears it and it's exciting for a bit, but then it goes away. It'll be seen in your life. People will know. What are you meant to do? Verse 24. Well, if you've got ears to hear, then hear. I told you what to do about that the last time. In verse 24, he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. What he means is this, if you listen carefully and apply the word of God, God will help you understand. And he sums it up in verse 25. For to the one who has understanding, more will be given. That's what God will do. If you listen to the word of God and apply it and ask God to help you to follow it, then God himself will see you are serious and he will give you more understanding. That's how it works. But from the one who is not, even what he has will be taken away. If you misuse the word of God, and you hear it, but you hear it casually, and you're not too interested, and you don't think much about it, you don't apply it, even the little bit of knowledge, the little bit of light you've got is going to disappear. Sure, that's a warning, eh? And he said to them, the kingdom of God is like a man who scattered seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he doesn't know how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in a sickle, because the harvest has come. What he's saying is, the word of God will grow where it encounters good soil. Don't worry about how it's going to work. You need to commit yourself to Christ, repent of your sins, put your trust in Christ, and begin to follow him. And as you do that, God will give you light and understanding, and there will be growth. He went on and gave another parable. Verse 30, and he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use? It's like a grain of mustard seed. When sown on the ground, it's the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants. He's talking about garden plants there. Puts out large branches so the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. So it starts small in our hearts, but it can have great fruit and great results for the glory of God, for us to help others, and for us to grow spiritually and mature as people made in God's image and made to walk with him and glorify him. With many such parables, verse 33, he spoke the word of God to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. So, let me encourage you. Maybe when you read the Bible, you find it very difficult to understand. I want to encourage you to keep at it, but you must keep asking God for understanding. Sooner or later, he's going to see you are serious. The question is not whether you understand everything. Nobody understands everything. I've been teaching and preaching the Bible for 40 years, more than 40 years, nearly 50 years. And I still don't understand everything. I still read commentaries, good commentaries, and I think, oh, gee, I never saw that. Well, okay, that's fine. No worries. I'm growing. Praise God. That's a great thing. It's a sign of health if you're growing. So there's Jesus teaching. He assures them, you know, the growth comes from God. It's a hidden thing. God sees to it. With what can we compare it? Oh, it may start small, but it'll grow. We're not to look at ourselves and think, oh, but we are weak and we are frail and we don't have much and we can't do much. That's not the point. God is the one who grants increase. God is the one who takes care of the seed. He will grow it in us and produce good results. This is an encouragement. You know, the little church that I'm involved, have the privilege of being involved with, I'm praying that there will be great fruit in the lives of the people, that people from that group will grow up, because we are children and teenagers and adults, but that they will grow and bear much fruit for God and glorify his name. And the power is not in them, the power is in God. But this is encouraging us. The chapter ends on Jesus calming the storm. Verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, if you know anything about boats, that's a double miracle. Number one, the wind stopped, but you know what happens when the wind stops. The sea remains turbulent for a couple of days sometimes. But here, double miracle, great calm immediately. And they were fishermen. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" In other words, haven't you understood who I am yet? I am the Son of God. If I say, "Let's go to the other side," we are going to the other side. You can trust me. In the storms and the difficulties of life, though you may be very aware of how weak and frail you are, the power to see growth and the power to see spiritual life and the power to bear fruit does not lie in us. No, no, we like small seeds. We need to trust God. We are not to be afraid. We are to trust him. They say, "Do you not care?" The fact is, they were looking at things the wrong way around. They should have been saying, "Lord, will you help us? The storm is great." But they wake him up, accusing him of not caring that they are about to die. And that's the wrong way things go. And sometimes in life we get into situations where we can't see God's hand. And it's tough going as Christians. And this may hold you back. You may look and say, "Oh, but life is hard in the world and I've had hard experiences. And if I give my life to Christ, will I be kept? Will, you know, where will I get the power from?" Well, the power comes from him, not from you. So he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" In other words, "You've seen me healing people and casting out evil spirits. You've heard my teaching. Haven't you understood yet who I am?" Well, the question comes to you and me. Do we understand who he is? Do we see him as the Son of God? Is our faith anchored in him? Well, what do they do? Verse 41. Oh, by the way, a tip in the Gospels, and a special tip for the Gospel of Mark. And that is, you need, when you see a question in the text, you need to think about that question. So Jesus says to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" In other words, "Don't you trust in me?" Now that's a question the text asks you. Do you have faith? Are you trusting in Christ as your Savior? Are you following him? And here's another question. And they were filled with great fear because they'd seen this amazing authority and power of his. And they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the Sea of Galilee," it's an inland lake, "obey him?" They weren't able to answer their question yet. That's why they were fearful. And you and I will be filled with doubts until we can answer the question, who is Jesus? Because once we see him as the Son of God and the Son of Man, God come as a man, we will confidently trust him and walk with him. But we've got to be able to answer the question, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So that's enough for this time. We've finished chapter 4. May God write his word upon your hearts and my heart. And may we come to true repentance and faith and trust in Jesus and follow him. This is my prayer for you. And I want to encourage you to take time to think about what is there to learn here, what is there to thank God for, what bad thing is there that I shouldn't do, and how do I apply this to my life? May God help us to do this. God bless you.